So the Rambam talks about the Isra of Lotachmod in Hilchis Gezela Vaveda Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. The Rambam says as follows: Kol hachomed avdo o amaso o beso v'keilav shel chavero. Anyone who envies, who is jealous of, covets, is eved or an ama or a house or anything, any property of his friends, o davar she'ef shelo she'eknu mimenu, or anything you can buy from him, v'hichbir alav v'royin v'hiftzir bo ad shelakchu mimenu, and he pressures him and he agitates him and creates a real uncomfortable environment until the Mocher is forced to sell it to this guy, and now he buys it as lokech. Afal pi shenasa lo damim rabin. He overpaid. I really liked your glasses. I nudged you and nudged you and nudged you and nudged you, and finally I bought your $50, I bought your spinner for 80 shekels, even though you bought it at the $1 store last week in Teaneck when you were home. Here in Israel, it's tougher to find. You got to go to town, and they're selling it for 50 shekels, and who wants to go to town? You want to sit and learn. So you paid 80, even if you overpaid. Shanas and lodamim rabim, harez the over below ta'aseh and lotachmon. You violated an isra of lotachmon. Point number one, before we continue in the Rambam, the Ravid disagrees over here on the side of the page. If you look in the Ravid to the side, on the right, Damim Rabim Lo Tachmod. All that line that from Damim Rabim to Lo Tachmod. Amrav Ram Velo Amaratza Oni. The case is when the Mocher doesn't say Ratza Oni. In other words, he does it begrudgingly. In other words, if let's say I really want, I don't know, Sammy's spinner, so I nudge Sammy, nudge Sammy, nudge Sammy. It's like a horn. Would you leave me alone if I sell you the darn spinner? Absolutely, Sammy. Let me make a sale. If he says Ratza Ani, what's the din? Says the Rebbe, you didn't violate. If he does it begrudgingly, fine, just leave me alone. I don't want to, but it'll get you out of my hair. Then you do violate. You got the Rebbe's chiluk? So just in terms of shot, where is there a machlokas? What? When you do say Ratza Ani. If you don't say Ratza Ani, they both agree you're in violation of the Yisr Lo Tachmon. The machlokas is when the mocher does say rotsani. When he says rotsani, then there's a machlokas. Okay, we'll have to get back to that machlokas and obviously ask, what's behind that machlokas? Says the Rambam biter, ve'en lokin alav zeh b'nei she'en bo maisa. Are there malkas for lotachmod? Why not? Because it's a lav shein bo maisa. There are many, many principles and spelt out mostly, not completely, in Maseches Makos. You don't get a maisa if there's an aseh. You don't get a maisa if all sorts of things, like it's nitak laaseh. You don't get a maisa if there's mamon involved. You also don't get malchus if there's no maisa. It says ve'en lokin al lav zeh b'nei shein bo maisa ve'en over b'lav zeh ad sheyikach hachefetz shechama. But more than that, you also don't violate the Isra until when? Until it's a transaction, until you actually receive the object that you so greatly envied and desired. I'm sorry, right? In other words, lo tachmod, kasev ezav aleim v'lakachta l'cha, you have to buy it. That's a chimut sheyesh bo maisa. Why is that surprising, the last line? The only time you violate is when it's a chimut sheyesh bo maisa, yet there's no lav because it's a lav sheyesh. So therefore, problem number two, which is really a more outstanding, pronounced problem, it kind of sticks out at you, is there a maisa or is there no maisa to this iser? Issue number one is to be what's behind this machlokas. Okay, if you didn't work that out, you could at least, you don't have to know all the lemmas, you could just know the sheetas and you feel like you did a good job. And you did it. Good job. Okay, great job would be the longest. But you cannot walk out of this Rambam leaving this unanswered. The Rambam says you don't get Malkus because there's no Maisa. And you don't violate the Isser until there's a Maisa. That's very, very difficult. Is there a Maisa or not? So the Ravid attacks the Rambam on this exact point. Take a look at the Ravid to the left over here. Ein lokin alav am Rav Ram. Lo ra'isi tema gadol mizeh. This is the biggest problem I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a bigger bewilderment. The kash is almost unsurmountable. Maybe unsurmountable, according to him. Vehechan maisa gadol minatilas chefetz. The greatest maisa around is, what more of a maisa do you want than the transaction, than a king, than a tilas chefetz? Aval havalei lamem rabnei shehu chayev betashlomen, shari hu ki gazlan shechayev lahashiv esagzela. Says the Ravid, I agree with the conclusion. In fact, there is no Malkus. There are no Malkus, but for a different reason. Not because it's a lav shein bo maisa, but rather because there's tashlumin. And any time you ever have tashlumin, there never are Malkus. You pay instead. If you steal, you pay back. If you lend with ribis, you know, all these things, none of these issues, none of these yisurim have Malkus because there's money. Right? Shari hu ki gazlan shechayv lohashiv ezak zelu lefikach enu loke v'gam zehu lo chayv lohashiv mamon lebailin. This particular guy is not chayv malchus, nor does he have to give back the money because it's not a full-fledged zela because the guy agreed. So we have, I guess, two machlokes in between the Rambam and Ravid over here. Machlokes number one is, what is the scope of the Yisr? How many cases does one violate the Yisr in? Everyone agrees. If he says, Eino Ratza Ani, he violates. What if he says, Rotza Ani, then what? Machlokas. Issue number one. Issue number two is there Malkus or not? Pardon me. Everyone agrees there's no Malkus, but why are there no Malkus? According to the Rambam, there's no Malkus because it's a lav sheh. Ebo Maisa, which is perplexing in and of itself because you need the Maisa in order to violate the Yisr. And the Rabbi has a different reason, which is it's a lav sheyesh bo tashlumin. So there really are two machlokes that we have to deal with and a bam kash on the Rambam just figure out what he's talking about. And therefore, we have to figure out what is behind this machlokas. Now the truth is, you can really start with trying to figure out any one of these three issues. What issue would you want to start with on your own, like your gut? What do you think makes most sense to start thinking about first? Okay. Probably the first one. Why?
It's first. It's more fundamental about the itself.
I think so. I think the most fundamental issue, the one that intuitively seems like they're going to be the ones going to be the most revealing about the nature of the Yisra of Lo Tachmed, of what the Torah asks in the Chimud, is going to be, did I violate it if you agree? I'd imagine so. Who makes more sense at first? Let's start with that. And if not, it's also just a good place to start because chronologically it's first. But I think more sense is what Jordan had said makes more sense. What Shita makes more sense at first glance? And that's like a key thing to think about. Who makes more sense at first glance? The Rambam or the Ravid? Does it make more sense to say you always violate or only when it's against the Mocher's will? But if it says Ratzani, so you're fine. Yeah, what do you got, Schmidt? The Ravid makes more sense. Why? I would have said it. I would have focused on the other element of the Ravid. Okay, look, which is?
I'm just saying that according to the Rambam, it sounds like you just wanted something, and then you just wanted to sell it to you. And once you want to sell it to you, why is that necessary at all?
Yeah, let me see what you're saying differently, even a little better. The Ravid holds if the Mocher says, Ratz Ha'ani, you did nothing wrong. Why did you do anything wrong if he agreed and was happy to sell it to you at the end of the day? The Ravid seems to make all the sense in the world because if the transaction is not forced, then there's no issue. It's only wrong if you forced the transaction. In which case, what's the Shitas HaRavid? Forcing a transaction. According to the Rambam, what is the Isser now? Yeah, what do you got?
I would actually kind of venture to say the other way. The Rambam makes more sense. Based on the language, based on language of the Isser, there's a little soft mode, which is the language is on the person that is covenant.
You may be right. You may be right. I haven't thought about it at all, but let me just make the point I want to make first, because you'll see why. There's always going to be two questions of who makes more sense. When I ask that question, usually I'm talking from a logical perspective, then there's always a second one of is there any textual perspective, and you have to deal with both. You have to figure out, well, what is the Lashon of the Torah? What is the Lashon of the Pasuk? What's the Lashon of the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Brisa? Are there any other textual supports that that indicate one way is right and one way is wrong. But that should not be confused with, from a logical perspective, which, in other words, do I like more and the other spots? Because this machlokas has to be both understood conceptually. What is Otachman according to the Rambam and Raivin? And what is, how do both of them read the Gemara / Pasuk or whatever else it is? So let me hold on to the Pasuk for a second. Let me start off with conceptually who makes more sense. I think it's the Raivin because it's only if it's Ratzani. That's right, if it's Ratzani, I did nothing wrong. Yeah, what do you got? What's this right for the Rambam?
Well, it's right for the Rambam, it's only the person. The other the person is selling it. We don't take it into account. You don't need to think about it. You're a company that...
Oh. According to the Ravid, seemingly, who's the more important character? If you want to put the AC on, probably a good idea. Doesn't work. According to the Rambam, according to the Ravid, who is the Isser? Like, who determines whether there was an Isser? According to the Ravid, it depends upon the Mocher, exactly. Does he want to or does he not want to? According to the Rambam, who does the Isser need to call upon? The buyer. The Konan, the guy who actually has the chimud on himself. I mean, that's maybe you're saying with the Rambam seems to believe the Isser is on me for pushing you to make that sale. We say it differently. The Rambam, good. With this idea in mind, maybe we can already begin to explain the Rambam a little better. According to the Rambam, what is the Isser? It's not forcing a transaction. What is it?
It's the act of coveting itself.
It's the emotion of coveting itself. The isser of chimud is what's wrong. In other words, when I covet, when I'm jealous, when I'm envious, that is goof of the isser. It's an isser of emotion. When I have an emotional feeling, that is the one the Torah doesn't want, chimud. That's when I violate the isser. If that's correct, is it a mlav sheyesh b'mais or ein b'mais? It really is a lav shein bo maisa. How then do we understand the last line of the Rambam where he says, chimud sheyesh bo maisa? So what do you got, Liederman? Okay, but didn't I violate the isser even without buying it? Isn't the isser irrelevant to your perspective? What's the isser?
It has to be a
shit that
actually happens for it to be. If I just
come in
and I'm getting it.
Excellent. I'm going to say it like a lamdin, but you're spot on. There has to be a shir. How much chima does one have to violate the isser? In other words, or to what is the shir? In other words, if a person has a little bit of basar b'chalav, like chatzi shir, so to speak, something like chatzi shir of chima. If I have chima, the Torah doesn't want me having any chima. I should have no feeling of enviousness, no jealousy, no none of that. However, at what point in time do I violate the official Isser? The answer is when I had so much chimud that I brought it to fruition. And therefore, if the transaction is merely a sheer to how much chimud I had, it doesn't make a difference if you say Ratza'ani, you don't say Ratza'ani, you do want it or you don't want it. The Torah's entire focus is on me. According to the Rambam, the Isser is on my emotional well-being. The Torah is trying to navigate my religious personality. It doesn't want me to covet because covet's a bad midah. And therefore, A, doesn't make a difference And therefore, what is the shir? The shir is the maisa. The maisa is the shir regardless of your attitude. And therefore, ein achinami. There is no maisa. Why not? Because there's no maisa in the lav. There's only a maisa in the shir. And that's what the Rambam says at the end. You need the maisa. Because chimud sheyesh bo maisa. The chimud is an isser without a maisa, but the chimud with a maisa. Chimud sheyesh bo maisa. That is the shear, and at that point in time, you violated the official shear of the lav, and you hit no longer chetzi shear, so to speak, but like the real shear. If that's correct, let's go back to the Ravid for a moment. What does the Ravid now hold? What's the Ravid's perspective? It's all about the mocher, the guy I'm nudging. And therefore, A, when do I violate? Only when? When I pressure him to do so without his consent. When I force him into a corner and make him sell it, and therefore if he says, Ratzoni, if he expresses a genuine desire to sell it, did I violate? No, because it's not about me, it's about putting him in a bad situation. And if that's correct, perhaps I understand it a little further. If I'm forcing him to do it, you know what it's very similar to? Gezeilah. And that's exactly what the Ravid compares it to. The Ravid says it's like it's a lav sheyesh bo tashlum. And why? According to the Ravid, what is really the iser? It's forcing the transaction. It's the lav sheyesh bo tashlum. It's the nature of the iser, i.e. it's a lav of, like gezeilah, it's forcing him to give me money or property against his will. I'm taking his property against him. I'm forcing him. Paying him, it's like a downgraded form of gezeilah. Gezeilah is when I force you to give me a matana. Chimud is when I, lo tachmud is when I force you to make a mechira to me. But they're under the same genre, they're under the same category of iser. And therefore they're both problems of forcing him to give away or lose money or property that he doesn't want to lose. And therefore it's a lav sheyesh bo tashlum. Not just by chance, because the lav is in the tashlum. According to the Rambam, the lav is not in the tashlum. According to the Rambam, the lav is in my heart, and the tashlum is a technical element. So let me just phrase it in two more ways, which kind of capture it maybe a little clearer. What is the role of the transaction according to the Rambam? That's the shear of the iser. According to the Ravid, it's the iser itself. And just one more perspective, maybe from almost like a half hashgafic point. Is lo tachmad an iser bein adam lechavera or bein adam la'atzmo? It's probably machlokes Rambam right. According to the Rambam, it's an iser bein adam la'atzmo. It's bein midos. It's you shouldn't be iser huashira samech b'chelko. You should know appreciate that Hashem gave you everything you need and not want other people's stuff and not be jealous of other people's stuff. It's a terrible midah. And if you do it so much, then what? To the point that there's a shear, you violate the, okay. However, according to the Ravid, it doesn't sound like that's the problem. What is the problem? What? It sounds like a bit Adma Chavero concern. I took from you something you didn't want to give me. I forced you into that perspective. Probably a lot of hashkafs to be learned from that, but at some point I'll have to have hashkafs here. This is a quick, well, tachmoshia.